Getting help for mental health shouldn't be as hard as it is. Mindful Therapy Group is here to make your mental health journey as painless as possible. Mindful partners with thousands of licensed clinicians to find the perfect fit for you. And also accepts insurance. Visit mindfultherapygroup.com.
Miami Dolphins football is on the air on the Miami Dolphins Radio Network.
Sponsored by AmeriSave, the official mortgage lender of the Miami Dolphins. Publix. To become a Publix member, visit clubpublix.com. Seminole Hard Rock Hollywood, South Florida's ultimate entertainment destination. Ticketmaster, official marketplace of the NFL. Dolphins Football, presented by the Palm Beaches.
What is up, Dolph fans, and welcome to the fifth quarter postgame show on the Miami Dolphins Radio Network. Seth and Juice are here. I am here, Travis Wingfield, on a day where they had to be as buttoned up and as sharp as you possibly could be, OJ, with all the men down they were. They were the opposite today.
Yes, they were, Travis. It was, ugly. Ugly from the beginning and ugly all the way through the end. A couple of little high points in the middle of it gave us a chance. But bottom line is, started ugly and finished uglier, you know, and that's a problem when it comes to NFL. No matter what, you know, you got to start thinking about guys and next man up situations. Our next man up, some of them did okay, but for the most part, obviously a raggedy showing up there in New York. And it's sad. It really is sad for the fact that, you know, you've got a chance to go up there and, you know, prove a point about a lot of different things you can do as a team. Losing Teddy first play of the game as an offense was tough. Skyler, you know, coming in, he's a rookie. We didn't help him out as much as you need to help a rookie out. And more importantly, in my opinion, is our defense still hasn't showed up pretty much the whole season. And that's a big problem for us.
The Dolphins take over the football, Big Seth. Late in that fourth quarter, they're driving. They are in a first and 10 situation at the Jets' 41-yard line, down by 2 points. And they go 5-yard rush, false start, incomplete pass on second and 9, a drop pass. They burn a timeout. Then they throw a 5-yard pass to Jalen Waddle and sets up a 4th and 5, and it's a missed 54-yard field goal. That would have given the Dolphins a 20-19 lead with just over 13 minutes to play. And then from that point, it winds up being 40-17. I mean, could it have gotten worse in that fourth quarter?
I don't know how it could have gotten worse, but guys, this is two games in a row where we've had a fourth quarter collapse. Right. The Dolphins had a lead in Cincinnati despite everything that was going on. They had a lead and they were driving down, you know, and they get outscored by 13 points in the fourth quarter, and then, you know, do the math on this one. But that one drive, everything that you just said there, was in so many ways a microcosm of the entire game. I mean, you can't lose the turnover battle by two. Right, 2-0. You lose on the turnovers. They converted both of those to points. You had the safety. There's more points. And oh, by the way, you have 11 penalties.
Yeah,
you just can't win football games. I don't care who is playing quarterback at that point. And I'm sure we'll talk a lot about the quarterback position. But to your point, Juice, you talked about the next man up. But there were guys who were the first men up who didn't do their jobs
1,000%.
Today to the extent to do their jobs to the point to where you can play winning football. And you certainly can't win with 11 penalties, 2 turnovers, a safety. And can we tackle somebody? Can we get somebody on the ground, please?
I think that was Juice's big takeaway, right? Yards after initial contact, and the Jets definitely had plenty of that. Shoot, one of the plays was a little rub pick the Jets ran right when the game was kind of in the balance there,
right.
And they get that big gain up the sideline, put them down for 1 yard line. Eventually, they punch it in for the touchdown, which basically was the beginning of the end as far as that game goes. But I mean, I think every team in the league has this, Juice, where you have, you know, 4 or 5 guys where if they go down, it significantly changes the way you play. And for Miami, I mean, besides Tyreek Hill and Jalen Waddle, you pretty much were down all those guys today. Tua being down obviously is a big drop off as far as your starting quarterback goes. Then your second quarterback goes down, you go to your seventh round rookie, which is, I think, Seth, you mentioned it, he played about as well as you could have asked for a third quarterback. I mean, I was telling you guys, I was putting together a list of previous Dolphins third quarterbacks. I mean, it was David Fales, Jake Rudock, you know, Luke Falk, a bunch of guys that just never even got into the game. And here he is in his first action, and he showed that he belongs in this league, I think, although there was, you know, some growing pains as you would expect for that guy. But quarterback position, I mean, this defense, Seth, you said no turnovers. That was my big key this game. I thought a bunch of takeaways were coming from Miami, right, because that's what this defense has been. But I think, Juice, when you get rid of X and Byron, who, you know, Byron's been out the whole season, but X in this game as well, it changes the way you play defensively because those guys press up and they allow that blitz scheme to get going. So those are two big pillars of your team that are down. And then Teron Armstead also goes down early in the game. It's tough to overcome that. And like you mentioned, when you don't make tackles, when you turn the ball over, when you give up sacks, you give up a safety, you have 11 penalties, you're just not going
to
win a game.
Yeah, it's a perfect storm to lose a game. I mean, bottom line is they did everything they could do. The Dolphins did everything they could do today to lose a football game. From the first play from offense, you know what I mean, with the safety, all the way to the end where they give up 21 points in the fourth quarter, all the penalties in between, you know, personal foul. We talked about the two face mask penalties that were back-to-back. That was a minus 14 yards in defensive play, but it gave them positive 30, you know, on the offensive side because of those penalties. What team in any league, in any level, can win like that?
You can't.
You cannot win like that.
But despite all of that,
you still had a chance.
You have a chance if you make that field goal, which I don't care who the quarterback was at that point. You can't put the missed field goal on the quarterback.
And put that as part of what the perfect storm was, too. That missed field goal has to be part of
everything. Short field to come off the other side.
Everything was just bad on every single level. And, you know, we keep chronicling the special teams problems.
Yeah.
You know, other than Morstead, you know, everything's been – it's been unbelievably bad for our team. And, I'm not throwing anybody in the bus. You watch the TV. Watch the tape. Watch the All-22.
It's
got
to get better.
It's there. No matter what. You know what I mean? Even after we get the safety, he bombs one down to the 10, and we still give up a 40-something yard return.
Yep.
I mean, what's going on teams-wise? Do we have the right guys that aren't our frontline guys on teams? Because obviously, you know, if you're not a starter, you better bust your butt on teams, and it's not working that way for us. And then you look at guys that are out there to make plays, to make tackles, to make sacks, to make stops in the backfield. They're grabbing face masks. They're reaching. They're not bringing their feet. And they're running. Guys are running through tackles. It's a bad situation right there. We talk about how much of a, you know, how good we are offensively and some of the play calls and things like that. Defensively is what we thought we'd be great at, and it's been awful. It's been really, really bad. And that's what, when you go into a game, you already got your backup quarterback in the game, and then you get into the game and you're into your third quarterback. You expect your defense that's supposed to be really good to step up and do something. And they stepped out today, and it was embarrassing against a Jets team that's not that talented offensively.
Yeah, I think embarrassing. That's really the word of the day here because, like we said, it just. I think I tweeted cavalcade of errors, and were you impressed by that word, Big Seth?
Yeah,
I don't know.
Juice would call that a big word like
mayonnaise.
Yeah,
but I mean that's what it was. I mean, I guess in the fourth quarter before that, there was obviously plenty of mistakes. But like you said, Juice, I think you know the talent disparity between these two teams. I think helped the Dolphins stay relatively close, and the run game got going there for a while. And here I am at the end of the third quarter getting ready for this show and for the podcast tonight thinking I might be able to get to use the trope I've been using all year long about how this team finds different ways to win. And I think I'm going to talk about Raheem Mostert going for a buck 50 and how the running game, you know, even though the Jets knew it was coming, just still kept on piling up 4, 5, 6 yards a pop, and then all of a sudden, that's why I thought that missed field goal was so crucial, because all of a sudden the Jets get a short field, they maintain the lead. I just think that it would have been a different game if they would have gotten that field goal through the uprights and played that fourth quarter with a lead. Nonetheless, they don't, and then it went the complete wrong direction. I don't know if you guys believe in momentum, but the momentum certainly swung in the wrong direction there.
There's no question about it. Absolutely. I believe in momentum, and I also believe that you can't give the ball to a hungry team that is ahead of you at midfield. You can't. You've got a kicker that was an All-Pro 2 years ago, and he's got to make that kick. You know, that's the bottom line to me. He's got to make that kick. We saw one missed earlier. We saw extra points missed earlier. You cannot afford to give up those opportunities, particularly when you're not playing with your starting quarterback, and especially when the guy who is there is a rookie.
Yeah.
He's a rookie quarterback, and, you know, I don't care what his draft position is. I think all that goes away once you make the roster. But and he deserves to be here, by the way.
Correct.
I agree with you. I think he is an NFL quarterback, and I thought there were moments there where we were like, wow, I'm glad we have this guy. Because who knows? You know, when Teddy goes down, who knows who's playing at that point if you don't have Skyler, or if you were lucky enough to keep him on the practice squad. I guess he gets thrown up in there because you know you're not going to have Tua. But the bottom line is I think we're lucky to have Skyler Thompson on this team. But when he's going to go in there, you have to give him help in other places. I think the running game, for the most part, did his job. But golly, there was so much that went wrong around him. And what happened? They played mistake-free football early in this year. What is going on? 11 penalties.
Yeah.
11. It's a big number, fellas.
Some of them huge, Big Seth. I mean, every penalty's bad, but the big ones, like we talked about, the two personal foul face mask penalties.
Yeah.
That's a lot of reaching and grabbing that you don't see defensively. Bring your feet, get a guy, you know, on the thigh pads or lower, you know, all this reaching. I'll give it to the Jets. I mean, the Jets were a hell of a team when it came to the stiff arm today. I mean, that was impressive how they kept us off of them, you know, off their bodies. I don't know if they got drills or something they do for that, but that was pretty impressive. But keep bringing your feet and stop reaching. Because when you reach, that's exactly what you're going to get is face mask. And that's what we grabbed all day today. And if we didn't get face mask, we got nothing. And I'm just shocked that a defense that has been so good the last couple of years has honestly been so bad all year. It's not even just, you know, it's been pretty bad all year, man. So it's disappointing. Obviously, it's disappointing. A big opportunity to get to 4-1 on your record. You know, 3-0 in your division. You know, those are tough. That's a tough loss today. I guess the Jets team, they're okay.
They're better. They're improved.
They're better.
Yeah.
Salah's doing a great job with them, but they're not better than us. I don't care. Second or third string quarterback, they're not better than us, but our first team defense is what made them better than us today against their first team offense.
And each of the last 2 years, it did take this defense about 7 or 8 weeks to get going, which is not, you know, I'm not saying it's a good omen or anything, because that's half the damn year.
But you can't afford that, right? Exactly. I mean, you didn't make the playoffs each of those 2 years, and you missed it by one game. So you don't have 7 or 8 games to get figured out.
Especially not when you're, like you mentioned, on your third quarterback there. And, you know, Coach McDaniel talks a lot about, you know, adversity is an opportunity. Well, he's got plenty of it right now, because you've got a lot of questions to answer about, you know, what is going to happen on defense? How are you going to get these penalties cut down? Who's going to play quarterback next week? I mean, we did hear that Teddy Bridgewater, was it that he passed the concussion examinations, but because of the new rule put in place this weekend,
right,
he was not allowed to return because of a wobble upon walking off the field. Is that what I saw?
Right, so it gives him a chance for next week.
So he could play next week. We'll see about Tua. We don't know about Tua either, so right, we'll find out. It could be any of the three quarterbacks next week. We'll find out, I guess, at some point this week. We'll go ahead and take our first break here and come back and get to more here, including sound from the head coach, Mike McDaniel, quarterback, Skylar Thompson, and a heck of a lot more. Dolphins postgame is driven by Gunther Volkswagen. You've got to get to Gunther Volkswagen to get behind the wheel of a new Volkswagen SUV in Fort Lauderdale, Coconut Creek, and Delray Beach. For car buying done your way, you've got to get to Gunther Volkswagen. Again, the final score from New York, Jets 40, Dolphins 17. Yuck. You're listening to the Fifth Quarter Postgame Show, brought to you by the Palm Beaches.
Struggling with mental health shouldn't be the norm. At Mindful Therapy Group, we specialize in connecting you with compassionate therapists to find the perfect fit for you. Mindful Therapy Group accepts most health insurances. Visit mindfultherapygroup.com to start your mental health journey today.
Check out South Florida's ultimate entertainment destination with world-class shows at Hard Rock Live, award-winning dining at Suppresso and Council Oak, and much, much more only at Seminole Hard Rock Hollywood. We're trying to unpack this Jets 40 to Dolphins 17. I can't even get the words out of my mouth because it makes me so disgusted. Juice liked the yuck I used there at the end of the last segment, because that's how we feel about losing to the stinking Jets. But it is what it is, and so we're kind of trying to unpack what exactly occurred here and what maybe makes you most concerned going forward. And we're talking about it, and, you know, I mentioned being down Xavier Howard and Byron Jones, and hopefully X can play next week. Byron Jones is still on PUP, so that's kind of a TBD situation as it stands. But, I mean, you know, you go back to the first year we had these two guys together. Byron Jones missed a few games, and if you look at the splits of when he's on the field with X, when he wasn't on the field with X, the defensive metrics were night and day difference. And I think you've kind of seen that so far here in the early parts of the season, Juice. So without those two guys, I think that's kind of an area that I look at and say, well, where does it get better? Because right now you have to rely upon Kader Kohou, who's been a really nice story so far through the season, Nick Needham, and Noah Igbinoghene and Keon Crossan. What do you think about that group there? Because that's kind of what these guys are going to have to step their game up here a little bit.
Yeah, they really do, man. You know, next man up is always a mentality. It really is. And, you know, you got guys, especially that have been around. I know Kohou hasn't been around, but I know that, you know, Needham and, you know, Igbinoghene and those guys have been around in the system. Same system that we're still running, that they should be a little more successful. You know, you lose guys like Byron, you lose guys like X, it should be next man up. My biggest issue is that what about the other guys? What about the other nine guys that have been here, been around, been starting, been doing big things, Big Seth? Because, you know, you can talk about the outside. I didn't see wide receivers running wide open in this game.
I didn't either. That's what I was going to say. You know, in fairness to those guys, there was one early on where everyone said, oh, no, Igbinoghene, he's lost out there. But for the most part, you didn't hear his name.
He settled down, didn't he?
Absolutely. Yeah. They didn't throw the ball all around the yard. And you know, I hate to say this because I think there's some really good football players back there. One who I think is a budding superstar, Javon Holland, was that this might have been I hate to say the worst game, but you know,
it
if you
was.
Look at
it
his,
you
look at his career, I mean, he had three tackles,
game.
No pass breakups. That's not what we're used to from him.
Not only that, the missed tackles he had. We chronicled that over and over and over today. And I love it.
He's as good as it gets.
Yeah.
I mean, that guy's going to win a lot
but
of ball
games. We got to call spade a spade when it comes to things
sure.
like
he
that.
He did not bring his A game today. The 79-yarder was Rowe. Right? Did we say that that looked like that was on Eric Rowe?
And we won't know. But it looked like Rowe. Everybody, they chronicled
looked
it.
Like a
I
busted
talked
assignment,
about it myself.
Which, yep,
false step
that?
on the RPO
Correct.
Action, and that's
for a veteran
right
player.
Behind his head.
So, and again, this is not us just sitting here being three guys who are sitting there with our feet kicked up on the couch and picking it apart. But we are supposed to give some analysis here, and I think you expect more out of those guys. You're leaning towards those guys, particularly when you have younger corners that are trying to play above their pay grade, so to speak.
Right.
And I don't think they delivered enough.
Yeah, and that's a great point, Big Seth. When you got a game like this, where you know you're down to your, you know, you're not down to, let's say we got a very quality backup quarterback in Teddy. We lose him in the first play. Then you get a guy, you get your third string guy in there, and Skyler. The defense is what you've got to have a meeting on the sideline as a defensive unit and say, look, fellas, this game is on us.
Yeah,
this game is on us today. You know what I mean? We're down to this. We're down to that. We're missing this guy. We're down to this guy. This is on us. And it gave the defense a great opportunity today to go out there and quiet the naysayers, because there's been some naysayers about what this defense has been able to do or lack thereof. 11th against the rush coming into the game, 31st against the pass coming into this game, and they did nothing to change that narrative today.
Yeah,
the missed tackles, the yards after contact were horrendous today, and it was a difference maker. Instead of us having guys at 3rd and 8, we're giving up so many yards after contact, it's 3rd and 2 and manageable. They can do whatever they want in those situations. There were so many opportunities today for guys to make big plays, and it was not made after contact. Now, if guys are running free and, you know, and then they make those plays or they get those yards, that's different. But the amount of missed tackles, the number of yards after contact was – I can't wait, Travis. You're gonna let us know this week, I know, about how many yards they had after contact.
It won't be pretty.
And it's
going
to be – it might not be like, you know, 50 yards on one play, but it's going to be 6 yards that took from 3rd and 8 to 3rd and 2. And that's going to be – that's a huge difference when it comes to, you know, the next play and the play calling from their offensive coordinator.
The play calling is a good point, which is exactly what we always get fired up about that when we're watching the game back there together is, you know, we get excited, oh, there's pushback on the defensive line, and they miss a tackle and he springs through. And like you said, the play call is a big difference. I think the percentage goes from, like, you know, converting 3rd and 2 is 65-70%. 3rd and 8 is less than, you know, 35%.
Right.
So your percentage has changed big time there. And, you know, to kind of put a bow on the point about the corners, I do agree that for the most part, the Jets passing game wasn't really, you know, it didn't do the Dolphins in. Ultimately, Zach Wilson goes 14 for 21, 210 yards, doesn't throw a touchdown, but doesn't throw a pick. And the reason I think that was such an integral part of this game was because this is a quarterback that when you put him into long distances and situations where he has to make big time throws, can put the ball in harm's way. But because of the Dolphins' inability to play that press with all that blitz, because of those two cornerbacks being down, and you know, at some point, you know, both these guys have missed games, X and Byron, so at some point you got to coach up guys behind him to play that style of football so you don't have to change when they go off. But I thought that was a big key, was they couldn't play their style of football to harass Zach Wilson, to force him into mistakes. Guys, they have one pick this year. Right. 5 games in, this defense has one pick, and you have – it was the first series of the freaking year,
exactly
Javon Holland.
Right.
So it's been –
tip ball.
And there's not a lot of pressure on the quarterback either. Yeah. So, you know, those two things, if anything works hand in hand, it's those two things. And I don't think you're seeing a lot of that as well. I mean, they got in his face a little bit. They got him down, but not to what you'd expect. And, again, if you're talking about helping out your younger corners, then get in his face.
Yeah.
You know, get in his face. So I thought the corners held up pretty well, all things considered. I really did. I mean, you're talking about elite players that are out, elite players. And was the drop-off that significant?
No, but the point is, the point I'm trying to make is that all those little rubs and flat routes they threw are because we have to play off, because they're taking Cater and Needham and they're playing them off, opposed to X and Byron, who play up in your face and force you to win at the line. You're getting free access to these
rubs,
flats.
Rubs work better with press coverage, though. I mean, in my opinion, don't you think?
Yeah, it does.
I think they do. I mean, the fact that we're still off and still, I mean, we couldn't tackle. Let's talk about this point right here, too, though. Look, we know Byron's out or potentially out, right? We know X is dealing with what he's dealing with. But, fellas, we had 10 days to get these guys ready for a game.
But who wasn't ready? That's what I'm saying.
Well,
who wasn't ready?
Well, I don't know. Why aren't our legs there? Why aren't we able to make tackles? Why aren't we able to bring our feet to? There were a couple of bus coverages out there that led to the big play. The Rose situation was one. We got Needham, or it might have been, I don't know who it was. It might have been Igbenogany guarding air, and the ball's over his head. There were a few situations where guys didn't seem like they were, you know, ready to make plays. And that's the thing. I mean, we had 10 days. No matter what, to have these backup guys ready to go, you know, including, you know, from Teddy to Skyler, you can get extra practices in right there. You get extra mental reps in there. It was a rough showing for a team that played a Thursday ago.
I don't disagree. It was a horrible showing for a team that played a Thursday ago. A horrible showing. And again, the fourth quarter collapse has me exceptionally concerned, because it's happened 2 weeks in a row now, two games in a row, I should say. But I just don't put 40 points and this loss on X and Byron being out. I just don't. I'm sorry. I think that
we're not saying
players.
That. I don't think that's definitely.
I don't know. I hear a lot of the corners getting attacked, and I thought those guys held up pretty well.
Where'd you hear that at?
That's what I'm hearing.
I'm saying it changes the way you play defense.
Yeah,
and the style of defense this Dolphins team wants to play is to don't let people go over the top, don't score touchdowns on you, but then when you get in advantageous situations, you unleash the house, and there's a reason that Byron and X both make $30 million combined. Like, they pay those guys because they are the linchpins of this defense that helps them execute the scheme. And sure, today, maybe it didn't matter because the Dolphins were bad in every area. I'm just saying it changes the way this defense wants to play, and if you don't have an answer beyond that, it could be a long year, because who knows when Byron's back. X has the growings issue. And X has had a rough year too. So, you know, I don't know, man. It's I didn't think 2 weeks after that 3-0 start, when we're all, you know, hooting and hollering in the radio booth at the stadium after beating the Buffalo Bills, we'd be sitting here. But, you know, that's the league. It'll humble you fast.
Yeah, well, it definitely will. And it's why I don't like to get ahead of myself on things. But again, I feel like, you know, if you want to talk about the way they play or how they schemed it up, they were in a position to make a lot of plays. And to your point, Juice, because they couldn't get guys on the ground, a 3rd and 8 turns into a 3rd and 1 or a 3rd and 2. So that to me tells, okay, we've schemed it up. We have the players that we have. We're utilizing their talents to the best of their abilities. We've schemed it up where the ball's going where we want it to go, but we're not getting guys down on the ground.
Right.
That, to me, is the biggest issue.
Well, that's a great point. I mean, let's think about that. That's why I think the thing that we really, really, really need to look at is, you know, is what happened after contact. And like I said, Travis is going to give us that information this week, because that was a huge difference in this game. It was the deciding factor, in my opinion, in this football game. Of course, the turnovers at the end, you know, to get to 21 in the fourth quarter against us. I mean, some short fields, and they get in there and make it a blowout. This game was not a blowout until those last couple of series. Let's keep it 100. It wasn't a blowout until then. So the score is not indicative of how the game really went 100%. until that situation went down.
The only thing that I would say to challenge that is that first quarter was as bad as you can play.
12-0. Yeah, 12-0.
They got lucky to only be down 12, but they fought and battled back and were in position to take the lead in the fourth quarter and then fell apart.
I'd be curious to hear Juice's perspective on the mentality of the guys after certain moments. We have to take a break right here, but maybe on the other side we'll talk about it, because, you know, you're already down to your number 2 quarterback. At the very first play of the game, you give up 2 points on offense and he goes out. And then missing the field goal late, it just seemed like maybe took the wind out of the sails. Team knew they kind of play with fine margins there. And once that happened, it was kind of like, well, now we're up against the wall. I don't know. I kind of want to hear Juice's take on that. We'll do that next. We also have audio from Mike McDaniel and Skylar Thompson as well. Dolphins post game is driven by Gunther Volkswagen. You've got to get to Gunther Volkswagen to get behind the wheel of a new Volkswagen SUV in Fort Lauderdale, Coconut Creek, and Delray Beach. For car buying done your way, you've got to get to Gunther Volkswagen. Again, the final score from MetLife Stadium, 40-7. Dolphins dropped their second straight. You're listening to the Miami Dolphins Radio Network, brought to you by the Palm Beaches.
Dolphins recap tomorrow morning with Joe Rose and Zach Krantz. AM 560 Sports, WQAM.
Make more good in the all-new Sportage X Pro with multi-terrain all-wheel drive and available 360-degree surround view monitor. No mission is too small to take on. The mission today for the Dolphins was a little bit too large to take on as they fall 40-17 to the New York Jets on the road and fall to 3-2 on the season. Behind third-string rookie quarterback Skylar Thompson, who played his heart out, it wasn't enough there at the very end. Let's go ahead and go to Skylar Thompson, who spoke to the media after the game.
Reps, you know, so it felt good to get out there and get that going.
I mean, you prepared all week, Skyler, for it, and within one play, you're on the field. It's a pretty jarring move. How were you able to adapt and get yourself where you needed to be mentally?
Yeah, obviously, like you never want to see one of your teammates go down, especially to see Teddy on the first play. You know. Definitely was a little bit to take in, kind of took me a little bit to settle in there and, you know, take a deep breath and just relax and trust the work that I put in up to this point, you know, and I kind of knew that there was going to be a little bit of that going into this or whenever the time came. But, you know, you got to start somewhere and, didn't play well enough today. And that obviously starts with me. There's a lot to learn from and grow from, which is the exciting part from my end, from my perspective.
You're gonna watch the tape, you'll find out what you did. As you stand here now, how do you feel you did, and what do you think you need to try to improve on? Because there's a good chance you may be back out there next week.
Yeah, well, it's hard to, I try not to make, a quick judgment on how I feel right after a game because, sometimes it's different on tape than what you feel in the game. So I just really try to hone in on, my thoughts right now and what things looked like on the field to me, every play, and then try to go back and watch the film and kind of correlate with my eyes of, did I see this correctly or what could I have done differently on this play? Or, there's a lot of learning out there. I know that for sure. So I'm excited to watch the tape start improving on the things that I need to.
Was it real fast at first, and did it slow down? Was it real fast at first, and did it at any point slow down for you?
Yeah, it started to slow down. Like I said, it's a jarring situation. The first play, to see Teddy go down and whatnot. I kind of knew that was going to be kind of. How it was going to be, I knew it just wasn't going to be perfect, right off the bat. I definitely felt like there was times where it felt like it was slowing down. I was able to see the defense, see what was going on, being able to make decisive reads, put the ball where I wanted it to. But there's still, there's a lot. There's a lot there, and I'm looking forward to watching it on film.
You get in the fourth quarter.
Obviously, you have two offensive linemen. Tackles out, you're stepping in for Teddy. Notice with the offense, because at times it seemed kind of out of sorts, you having to play a game, penalties, and stuff like that. What stood out to you?
Well, that starts with me in my operation of communicating clearly and controlling those things in huddle where there is no confusion and where we don't look out of sorts. That's not something that we want on offense. And that starts with me in the huddle and commanding things, speaking with confidence and doing those things. And, that's just something that I'm going to get, better at and continue to improve on. And, that's definitely, like I said, something that we want to improve on because we don't want to delay of game penalties or those unnecessary false starts. Those things like that get you off schedule are really tough. So that's something that we got to clean up, and that starts with me. So
talk a little bit about the frustration. Like 13 minutes left in the game, you got a chance for a field goal to take the lead, don't make the field goal, and then it just seemed like the bottom went out of the of everything, and that frustration level with being so close and having it just fade away in the end. How tough is that for you?
Yeah, I mean, it's tough no matter however fashion that you lose. I'm here to win. I know everybody in this locker room and organization, we're here to win. And to just lose in general, it's very tough, and you know, it's hard to fully speak on everything right now, just because I just want to go back and watch the tape and align everything with the way that, you know, I'm initially, my initial thoughts and feelings right now. So, but losing is not what we're about here. And, you know, I know we have the right guys in the locker room that are going to bounce back from this and find ways to take ownership and, you know, their play. You know, it's not about pointing fingers or pointing blame or anything like that. It's taking ownership in what you did. And that's what I'm going to do and do my best to just get better and continue to improve.
I guess how, you know, 10 days ago, you know, you saw Tua go out with a concussion, and obviously now taking you to the concussion protocol. Just how tough was that, maybe on the sideline with you and your teammates, you know, as the game went on and whatnot?
Yeah, well, my world has changed quite a bit in 3 weeks, you know, and like I touched on earlier, you know, coming in here this year, Tua and Teddy have been phenomenal to me in helping me learn, helping me grow. Mentoring me, even though that, you know, that's not in their contracts at all or something that they're asked to do. Like, they're just those types of people. And so when you're surrounded by people like that, it just, especially in your quarterback room, it makes the team better. And I think the three of us in our room, of the attitude and the people that are in there, has really impacted our team in a great way this year. And to see those guys, you know, see Tua go down the way he did, and see Teddy go down the way he did, you know, it's like I said, it's never something that I would ever wish on anybody, or, you know, you just hate to see it, and it hurts. And because, you know, I care about those guys and want to see him do well. I was really excited to watch Teddy play today. His week of preparation was unreal. And I just try to jump in his back hip, try to learn as much as I can from Teddy. And he's done a, you know, awesome job of mentoring me, even though I know that he's not asked to do so. So I feel for those guys, and I'm, you know, praying that they're getting better.
Skyler, too, a lot of outsiders, this offense is get the ball to Tyreek, get the ball to Jalen. How tough was that today?
You know, I felt like got the ball to him in, you know, certain situations. Like I said, it's kind of hard to truly comment just because emotional loss, and don't really know. You know, I want to go watch the film before I really answer those things, because, you know, I know there's plays that I left out in the field, and, you know, that's always tough. But, you know, the one thing that, you know, I gave it my all today. I played, you know, the hardest I possibly could for this team and to help this team win, and I never gave up, you know, and that's what I'm going to hold my hat on and stand on, you know, every time I touch the field and step between the white lines. And, you know, I'm excited to get back and watch the film and learn and get better.
That was Dolphins quarterback Skylar Thompson after the Dolphins' defeat in New York today. We'll come back on the other side and get you the key player of the game and react to Skylar Thompson's postgame presser. Dolphins postgame is driven by Gunther Volkswagen. For car buying done your way, you've got to get to Gunther Volkswagen. Again, the final score from New York. The Jets win 40-17. You're listening to the fifth quarter postgame show brought to you by the Palm Beaches.
Miami Dolphins football is on the air on the Miami Dolphins Radio Network.
The Porpoise Pod, the newest Miami Dolphins podcast, hosted by Tobin and Solana. Listen for free on the Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
Unbeatable fans like you deserve unbeatable mileage, so next time you fill up, choose Chevron with Techron. Find a station near you on the Chevron app, and despite a 40-17 loss, tough to find a player of the game. Let's go ahead, though, and get to our key player of the game, sponsored by Ed Morse. When you buy from Morse, you're backed by Morse with the price protection promise from Ed Morse Sawgrass Auto Mall. The Dolphins found their running game today, and I think identified RB1 as Raheem Mostert found the end zone for the first time as a Miami Dolphin.
Great craft, slot right side. He's got two touchdowns this year. They give it to the running back on the reverse touchdown. It's Mostert on that fly sweep. And the Dolphins get to the end zone. They're back in the football game. A 12-yard touchdown run by Mostert, his first as a Miami Dolphin.
Well, Jimmy, Jets looked a little confused, and Mostert used that great speed to just get outside, and he said, man, I'm going to get in this end zone. That's all there is to it.
Joe, they're using some misdirection. You know, they got everybody really going one direction and coming back the other way. And Mostert,
he just outruns everybody.
Also nearly found the end zone later in that first half, right before the Durham Smythe sneak for a touchdown. Goes 18 carries for 113 yards and the one touchdown, 6.3 yards per rush. And Juice, I know on that one touchdown he did have, I know you were loving the wide receiver blocking out there from River Craycraft and Trent Sherfield.
Yeah, absolutely, man. Those guys, they've been doing what we used to call the dirty work, man. You know, a lot of times you see those guys in the game, you know a run play is coming. And I know defenses feel the same way, and they're still able to go out there and get the job done, and most are able to get into the end zone. And you got to love the guys that know their role. They can be involved, too, more offensively. But the wide receivers and blocking, I even saw Tariq getting some work in. I saw Tariq make a tackle. These guys do some work, and credit to Wes Welker, because, you know, that's how he did things as well. You know, he blocked well. You know, he obviously ran routes well, caught balls well, but you got to be a well-rounded receiver, and I think we got some guys out there that did that. And Mostert, I love the fact you talk about Raheem, because he had a hell of a game. We averaged 5.3 yards a carry today, yep. And that's a stat you look forward to in a game. Other things obviously didn't lead to it, but Mostert had a hell of a game for us, and good for him being out there, being that bell cow. And doing good things for us today.
I think you really saw today, Seth, how big of a fit Raheem is in this system. I mean, coming from San Francisco with Mike McDaniel, just why he was a guy they wanted to bring in here. I mean, he really fits what they do.
Yeah, and the shame is that with everything else that we've talked about in the first few segments, you kind of lose the fact that this is what you wanted to see, right? Mike McDaniel was supposed to be the run game genius. Raheem Mostert, you know, all of the speed. Where's the run game been? That's been all of the talk. This was the game where they needed to run the ball well, and they did. You're exactly right, Drews. 5.3 yards per carry. Now, they only rushed 26 times. So it wasn't like they had to sit there and give it 40, 50 carries to get to 100 yards. And so for him to have a 100-yard game, his first 100-yard game as a Dolphin, I hope, you know, if we don't just throw all hope out the window and we realize that there's still a lot of football games to be played, hopefully there's something to be built on there. If you want to take away anything positive from this game, is that the running game did get going, and that even when they had to play catch up as often as they did, they were able to get over 100 yards there and get really great play out of Mostert.
I just saw behind your head the play where Tyreek had that double pass where he ended up running it. We thought he was going to score on that play. Man, you get that block, maybe they go up on that play as well. Right. So more missed opportunities, just reminding myself right behind Seth's head as I'm looking at him talk about this segment right here. So Raheem Mostert, Dolphins run the ball 26 times for 137 yards. That was your key player of the game. Sponsored by Ed Morse. All the latest GM models are right here at the Ed Morse Sawgrass Auto Mall, and they're all backed by Ed Morse. Big Seth, press conference consigliere. We heard Skylar Thompson talk there before the break. I know you guys are both impressed by this young man, but what stood out to you about Skylar Thompson's first post-game press conference?
Yeah, I mean, he just is impressive. Granted, we wanted him to be even more impressive on the field, and I think we talked at length as to what happened out there. But you expect him to say there's a lot to learn from. I just thought he showed a lot of maturity. He didn't seem, to me, he seemed disappointed, but not broken. And that's what I want to see out of a young quarterback, because, you know, that can be a fragile psyche for a young guy, but it just doesn't seem too big for him. He is mature. Juice, you've pointed over and over again, especially in the preseason, to the fact that this guy was a four-year captain at college, and that's, like, almost impossible to come in as a freshman and be a captain. And I think that maturity showed. I love that he said, hey, I'm excited to go watch the tape and learn. You know, I had to be better, but he was also, you know, the words again that I wrote down here, mature, disappointed, accountable. Talked about the operation, some of those false starts, some of those, you know, delay of game penalties. He said, that starts with me. We need to be better. I need to be better there. The other thing I thought that was really interesting is he said Teddy's week of preparation was unreal. Mm-hmm. Right. He enjoyed watching Teddy prepare. I think that helps him in his maturity, but it also gives me hope that if Teddy is cleared, and look, we're all learning what this means now in the new rules that were instituted yesterday in the NFL, that, hey, Teddy took a heck of a shot. I thought it was a rib, you know, that was like a six-piece ribs there, that, you know, and that's probably what he's feeling on this ride home. But somebody saw him stumble. I didn't see it, you know, and I know we talk about what we saw or what we didn't see. The new rules say you can't go back out there, fine. My hope is that means that if he cleared everything in concussion protocol and that he can get back on the field sooner than later, that he will continue that preparation. That doesn't surprise me from everything we've read about Teddy, veteran, a leader, a studier, but I thought it was really cool that the youngest guy in that room, well, not the youngest guy in that room, the youngest guy in terms of football years in that room was really impressed at Teddy's preparation, and my hope is that we see the fruits of that labor in this next game.
Yeah, I think Daryl Bevel's been a big addition to this Dolphins coaching staff. Obviously, the stuff with Tua going on the field pregame and getting all that work in, and just how much more prepared and better he looks. What do you think, Juice?
I wish here's what I wish. Hearing that from Skyler, I wish Teddy would have shown that from the beginning. Let me just be keep it 100. If Teddy, only this week is the week of preparation that you were impressed with, Teddy could have been the guy to have the whole quarterback room prepared like that. You know, and I don't want to take, I mean, I'm not saying that, I'm not, it's not a knock, but if he was impressed by it this week, why wasn't that going on weeks before? Because I'm going to tell you, my personal experience, one of the best guys that prepare for games, other than Marino, was Bernie Kosar. And Bernie had Danny ready to go every single game.
Road and never trip. Expected to play, right?
Yeah, right. And never expected never to play. Never did play. Yeah, he was on the plane quizzing Danny on stuff. So I just want, I love the fact that Skyler said that about Teddy, but I wish Teddy coming in, even as the backup quarterback, would have instilled that in a young Tua as well, and that could have trickled down as well to Skyler. So that's the biggest thing, man. That preparation is huge for these quarterbacks. It really is, man. And I know Teddy was prepping for a big day. And, you know, to be out in one snap is tough. To be pinned back there in one snap and then have the play call that gets you lit up like that, it's tough. In my opinion, also, while we're, as an aside, a bad safety call, because yeah. How do you know where the ball's going when the guy's getting lit up like that? That's tough.
That was a terrible call.
Exactly.
Obviously,
right.
Not the reason that the
right.
team lost.
Right. We didn't
today.
Lose because of that.
It could have been, but they somehow
like that.
Overcame that. But golly,
but,
that was
but
bad.
The preparation of the quarterback position is so important, and that's the reason they make the big bucks, man. So I wish that, you know, that little trait, that whole work ethic all week would have been out there the whole time. Sometimes, you know, as a quarterback or as a position player, when you're the number two guy, you don't want to step on the number one guy's toes, and you don't want to show him this is how things should be done, you know what I mean? And that might be the situation too. But the fact that Skyler was able to sit back and watch Teddy work and see how this is how it is, because let me tell you, in the college game, it's pretty basic. You put a play, you have your playbook in, and then you just draw plays from your playbook every single week. In the pro game, your playbook changes every single week depending on the team that you're playing. So when you watch that film, you see certain things that are going to work. You got basic stuff in, but it's also stuff that you're going to add to, you know, to your playbook. Your playbook is added on every single week in the NFL. And you might be in week 5 now, but you might draw stuff from week 1 that's going to be in your playbook or in week, you know, going into week 6, because there's a lot of things that change. And every single team has different defenses, different schemes, different philosophies. So it's a league that is where, you know, you rob and steal. It's a copycat league for real, because you see what works against a team. All of a sudden, that's in your playbook. So back to what I was saying is, I love the way Skyler's witnessing what Teddy's doing in preparation, because honestly, there's a good chance that Skyler's going to be playing against Minnesota next week. So he's got to be ready. So every single week, all three of our quarterbacks, all of them, because you never know who's going to come out of protocol, yeah. Who's going to be ready to go, all three of them need to start preparing the exact same way as if they're going to be the starter, the backup, or the third string guy. All of them. They're not going to get the physical reps, Travis, as you know. But the mental reps and the mental preparation is huge right now in this league, because you know, especially with the new rule changes in terms of protocol, you're really one play away from having your butt on the football field, and you at the quarterback position is critical that you know what the hell's going on out there.
We saw it today. I mean, that was what happened today, that the new rule implemented is the reason why Teddy did not come back in that game. The last point here before we get to break, I liked how he mentioned both Teddy and Tua have helped him so much, and it's not in their contracts to help him. I thought that was a cool little soundbite there, talking about how far above and beyond they've gone. I like this Dolphins quarterback room more than I think any since, you know, you guys talk about number 13 since he was here. So we're in good hands there. I guess that's one positive takeaway here from this game. Let's go ahead and take a break, but first, before that, pause 10 seconds so our stations can ID themselves. You're listening to the Miami Dolphins Radio Network.
WQAM Miami, WPOW HD2 Miami, WKIS HD2 Boca Raton, home of the Miami Dolphins, powered by Anajar and Levine Accident Attorneys.
Call 1-800-747-3. That's 1-800-747-3733.
Last segment here in Hour 1 coming your way next. We'll hear from head coach Mike McDaniel. Stay tuned for that. Dolphins postgame is driven by Gunther Volkswagen. For car buying done your way, you've got to get to Gunther Volkswagen. Again, the final score from MetLife Stadium, 40-17. It gets harder to say that every single time. You're listening to the Miami Dolphins Radio Network, brought to you by the Palm Beaches.
You're listening to Dolphins Football on the Miami Dolphins Radio Network.
Dolphins recap tomorrow morning with Joe Rose and Zach Krantz, AM 560 Sports, WQAM.
Our Miami Dolphins want to help you lock in a low mortgage rate. That's why AmeriSave is our official mortgage lender. Whether you want to get refinanced, get cash out, or purchase a new home, visit AmeriSave.com to lock in your low mortgage rate today. Sometimes I lie to you guys. I lied to you last segment. We do not have Mike McDaniel right now. We're going to say that for the second hour.
Don't be a liar, Travis.
I try not to be, Juice, but sometimes, you know, I get a little bit over my skis, right, Big Seth?
Yeah, I can handle a jerk, but not a liar.
I've done that here. But it gives us a chance to talk about something you guys just informed me of as I went out to take a break there on the last break, that Tyreek Hill left the stadium today in a walking boot. So fun. That's more fun for the Dolphins today. But we want to talk about these receivers. And, you know, we look at the numbers today. Tyreek, what did he have today?
Seven for 47.
Yeah.
But also, Drew, those two pass interference plays that got you more than 60 yards in offense, essentially. So, I mean, he was other than Raheem, he was the offensive weapon today, as he has been all season.
He probably would be my player of the game if we had a game ball, if we'd won that game.
Struggling with mental health shouldn't be the norm. At Mindful Therapy Group, we specialize in connecting you with compassionate therapists to find the perfect fit for you. Mindful Therapy Group accepts most health insurances. Visit mindfultherapygroup.com to start your mental health journey today.
Miami Dolphins football is on the air on the Miami Dolphins Radio Network.
The Porpoise Pod, the newest Miami Dolphins podcast, hosted by Tobin and Solana. Listen for free on the Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
Unbeatable fans like you deserve unbeatable mileage, so next time you fill up, choose Chevron with Techron. Find a station near you on the Chevron app, and despite a 40-17 loss, tough to find a player of the game. Let's go ahead, though, and get to our key player of the game, sponsored by Ed Morse. When you buy from Morse, you're backed by Morse with the price protection promise from Ed Morse Sawgrass Auto Mall. The Dolphins found their running game today, and I think identified RB1 as Raheem Mostert found the end zone for the first time as a Miami Dolphin.
Great craft, slot right side. He's got two touchdowns this year. They give it to the running back on the reverse touchdown. It's Mostert on that fly sweep. And the Dolphins get into the end zone. They're back in the football game. A 12-yard touchdown run by Mostert, his first as a Miami Dolphin.
Well, Jimmy, Jets looked a little confused, and Mostert used that great speed to just get outside and he said, man, I'm going to get in this end zone. That's all there is to it.
Joe, they're using some misdirection. You know, they got everybody going one direction and coming back the other way. And Mostert,
he just outruns everybody.
Also nearly found the end zone later in that first half, right before the Durham Smythe sneak for a touchdown. Goes 18 carries for 113 yards and the one touchdown, 6.3 yards per rush. And Juice, I know on that one touchdown he did have, I know you were loving the wide receiver blocking out there from River Craycraft and Trent Sherfield.
Yeah, absolutely, man. Those guys have been doing what we used to call the dirty work, man. You know, a lot of times you see those guys in the game, you know a run play is coming. And I know defenses feel the same way, and they're still able to go out there and get the job done, and most are able to get into the end zone. And you got to love the guys that know their role. They can be involved, too, more offensively. But the wide receivers and blocking, I even saw Tariq getting some work in. I saw Tariq make a tackle. These guys do some work, and credit to Wes Welker, because, you know, that's how he did things as well. You know, he blocked well. You know, he obviously ran routes well, caught balls well, but you got to be a well-rounded receiver, and I think we got some guys out there that did that. And Mostert, I love the fact you talk about Raheem, because he had a hell of a game. We averaged 5.3 yards a carry today, yep. And that's a stat you look forward to in a game. Other things obviously didn't lead to it, but Mostert had a hell of a game for us, and good for him being out there, being that bell cow. And doing good things for us today.
I think you really saw it today, Seth, how big of a fit Raheem is in this system. I mean, coming from San Francisco with Mike McDaniel, just why he was a guy they wanted to bring in here. I mean, he really fits what they do.
Yeah, and the shame is that with everything else that we've talked about in the first few segments, you kind of lose the fact that this is what you wanted to see, right? Mike McDaniel was supposed to be the run game genius. Raheem Mostert, you know, all of the speed. Where's the run game been? That's been all of the talk. This was the game where they needed to run the ball well, and they did. You're exactly right, Juice. 5.3 yards per carry. Now, they only rushed 26 times. So it wasn't like they had to sit there and give it 40, 50 carries to get to 100 yards. And so for him to have a 100-yard game, his first 100-yard game as a Dolphin, I hope, you know, if we don't just throw all hope out the window and we realize that there's still a lot of football games to be played, hopefully there's something to be built on there. If you want to take away anything positive from this game, is that the running game did get going, and that even when they had to play catch up as often as they did, they were able to get over 100 yards there and get – really great play out of Mostert.
I just saw behind your head the play where Tyreek had that double pass where he ended up running it. We thought he was going to score on that play. Man, you get that block, maybe they go up on that play as well. Right. So more missed opportunities. Just reminding myself right behind Seth's head as I'm looking at him talk about this segment right here. So Raheem Mostert, Dolphins run the ball 26 times for 137 yards. That was your key player of the game. Sponsored by Ed Morse. All the latest GM models are right here at the Ed Morse Sawgrass Auto Mall, and they're all backed by Ed Morse. Big Seth, press conference consigliere. We heard Skylar Thompson talk there before the break. I know you guys are both impressed by this young man, but what stood out to you about Skylar Thompson's first post-game press conference?
Yeah, I mean, he just is impressive. Granted, we wanted him to be even more impressive on the field, and I think we talked at length as to what happened out there. But you expect him to say there's a lot to learn from. I just thought he showed a lot of maturity. He didn't seem, to me, he seemed disappointed, but not broken. Yeah. And that's what I want to see out of a young quarterback, because you know that can be a fragile psyche for a young guy, but it just doesn't seem too big for him. He is mature. Juice, you've pointed over and over again, especially in the preseason, to the fact that this guy was a four-year captain at college, and that's like almost impossible to come in as a freshman and be a captain. And I think that maturity showed. I love that he said, hey, I'm excited to go watch the tape and learn. You know, I had to be better, but he was also, you know, the words again that I wrote down here, mature, disappointed, accountable. Talked about the operation, some of those false starts, some of those, you know, delay of game penalties. He said, that starts with me. We need to be better. I need to be better there. The other thing I thought that was really interesting is he said Teddy's week of preparation was unreal. Mm-hmm. Right. He enjoyed watching Teddy prepare. I think that helps him in his maturity, but it also gives me hope that if Teddy is cleared, and look, we're all learning what this means now in the new rules that were instituted yesterday in the NFL, that, hey, Teddy took a heck of a shot. I thought it was a rib, you know, that was like a six-piece ribs there that, you know, and that's probably what he's feeling on this ride home. But somebody saw him stumble. I didn't see it, you know, and I know we talk about what we saw or what we didn't see. The new rules say you can't go back out there, fine. My hope is that means that if he cleared everything in concussion protocol and that he can get back on the field sooner than later, that he will continue that preparation. That doesn't surprise me from everything we've read about Teddy, veteran, a leader, a studier, but I thought it was really cool that the youngest guy in that room, well, not the youngest guy in that room, the youngest guy in terms of football years in that room was really impressed at Teddy's preparation, and my hope is that we see the fruits of that labor in this next game.
Yeah, I think Daryl Bevel's been a big addition to the Dolphins coaching staff. Obviously, the stuff with Tua going on the field pregame and getting all that work in, and just how much more prepared and better he looks. What do you think, Juice?
I wish, here's what I wish, hearing that from Skyler, I wish Teddy would have shown that from the beginning. Let me just keep it 100. If Teddy, only this week is the week of preparation that you were impressed with, Teddy could have been the guy to have the whole quarterback room prepared like that. You know, and I don't want to take, I mean, I'm not saying that, it's not a knock, but if he was impressed by it this week, why wasn't that going on weeks before? Because I'm going to tell you, my personal experience, one of the best guys that prepare for games, other than Marino, was Bernie Kosar. And Bernie had Danny ready to go every single game.
And never expected to play, right?
Yeah, right. Never expected to play.
Never did play.
Yeah, he was on the plane quizzing Danny on stuff. So I just want, I love the fact that Skyler said that about Teddy, but I wish Teddy coming in, even as the backup quarterback, would have instilled that in a young Tua as well, and that could have trickled down as well to Skyler. So that's the biggest thing, man. That preparation is huge for these quarterbacks. It really is, man. And I know Teddy was prepping for a big day. And, you know, to be out in one snap is tough. To be pinned back there in one snap and then have the play call that gets you lit up like that, it's tough. In my opinion, also, while we're, as an aside, a bad safety call, because how do you know where the ball's going when the guy's getting lit up like that? That's tough.
That was a terrible call.
Exactly.
Obviously,
right.
Not the reason that the
right.
team lost.
Right. We didn't
today.
Lose because of that.
It could have been, but they somehow overcame that. But golly,
but,
that was
but
bad.
The preparation of the quarterback position is so important, and that's the reason they make the big bucks, man. So I wish that, you know, that little trait, that whole work ethic all week would have been out there the whole time. Sometimes, you know, as a quarterback or as a position player, when you're the number two guy, you don't want to step on the number one guy's toes, and you don't want to show them this is how things should be done, you know what I mean? And that might be the situation too. But the fact that Skyler was able to sit back and watch Teddy work and see how this is how it is, because let me tell you, in the college game, it's pretty basic. You put a play, you have your playbook in, and then you just draw plays from your playbook every single week. In the pro game, your playbook changes every single week depending on the team that you're playing. So when you watch that film, you see certain things that are going to work. You got basic stuff in, but it's also stuff that you're going to add to, you know, to your playbook. Your playbook is added on every single week in the NFL. And you might be in week five now, but you might draw stuff from week one that's going to be in your playbook or in week, you know, going into week six, because there's a lot of things that change. And every single team has different defenses, different schemes, different philosophies. So it's a league that is where, you know, you rob and steal. It's a copycat league for real, because you see what works against a team, all of a sudden that's in your playbook. So back to what I was saying is, I love the way Skyler's witnessing what Teddy's doing in preparation, because honestly, there's a good chance that Skyler's going to be playing against Minnesota next week. So he's got to be ready. So every single week, all three of our quarterbacks, all of them, because you never know who's going to come out of protocol, yeah, who's going to be ready to go, all three of them need to start preparing the exact same way as if they're going to be the starter, the backup, or the third string guy. All of them. They're not going to get the physical reps, Travis, as you know, but the mental reps and the mental preparation is huge right now in this league, because you know, especially with the new rule changes in terms of protocol, you're really one play away from having your butt on the football field, and you at the quarterback position, it's critical that you know what the hell's going on out there.
We saw it today. I mean, that was what happened today, that the new rule implemented is the reason why Teddy did not come back in that game. Just the last point here before we get to break, I liked how he mentioned both Teddy and Tua have helped him so much, and it's not in their contracts to help him. I thought that was a cool little soundbite there, talking about how far above and beyond they've gone. I like this Dolphins quarterback room more than I think any since, you know, you guys talk about number 13 since he was here. So we're in good hands, though. I guess that's one positive takeaway here from this game. Let's go ahead and take a break, but first, before that, pause 10 seconds so our stations can ID themselves. You're listening to the Miami Dolphins Radio Network.
WQAM Miami, WPOW HD2 Miami, WKIS HD2 Boca Raton, home of the Miami Dolphins, powered by Anajar and Levine Accident Attorneys.
Call 1-800-747-3. That's 1-800-747-3733.
Last segment here in Hour 1 coming your way next. We'll hear from head coach Mike McDaniel. Stay tuned for that. Dolphins postgame is driven by Gunther Volkswagen. For car buying done your way, you've got to get to Gunther Volkswagen. Again, the final score from MetLife Stadium, 40-17. It gets harder to say that every single time. You're listening to the Miami Dolphins Radio Network, brought to you by the Palm Beaches.
You're listening to Dolphins Football on the Miami Dolphins Radio Network.
Dolphins recap tomorrow morning with Joe Rose and Zach Krantz. AM 560 Sports, WQAM.
Our Miami Dolphins want to help you lock in a low mortgage rate. That's why AmeriSave is our official mortgage lender. Whether you want to get refinanced, get cash out, or purchase a new home, visit AmeriSave.com to lock in your low mortgage rate today. Sometimes I lie to you guys. I lied to you last segment. We do not have Mike McDaniel right now. We're going to say that for the second hour.
Don't be a liar, Travis.
I try not to be, Juice. Sometimes, you know, I get a little bit over my skis, right, Big Seth?
Yeah, I can handle a jerk, but not a liar.
I've done that here. But it gives us a chance to talk about something you guys just informed me of as I went out to take a break there on that last break, that Tyreek Hill left the stadium today in a walking boot. So fun. That's more fun for the Dolphins today. But we wanted to talk about these receivers. And, you know, we look at the numbers today. Tyreek, what did he have today?
Seven for 47.
Yeah. But also, Drew, those two pass interference plays that got you more than 60 yards in offense, essentially. So, I mean, he was other than Raheem, he was the offensive weapon today, as he has been all season.
He probably would be my player of the game if we had a game ball, if we'd won that game. But
a couple rushes, though, and one rush was like unbelievable. You know, he looked like he was dead to rights.
I know.
In the backfield, and he split some people. So, yeah, Tyreek was special, man.
And there's something I wanted to bring up, because, you know, Jalen Waddle did not catch a pass in the second half of the Cincy game. We know he was on the injury report, and there was he was questionable, I think, coming into this game. Is that right, Travis? He was questionable with the groin.
And Tyreek.
And we thought that he looked like he was running labored at the end of that Cincy game, you know, Juice. And so much of his game is that speed, that quick twitch, that burst, all of those things that Travis loves and cries about if he's not in there. And
literally cries.
You know, and then he doesn't catch a pass in the first quarter of this game, and start to wonder what is going on with Jalen Waddle. Finishes with 3 for 23. So I went back and looked a little bit, and I thought this was kind of interesting. It kind of means nothing, but I did think it was a little bit interesting and hopefully not cause for concern if we can get him healthy. So the last 2 weeks, weeks 4 and weeks 5, 2 for 39 at Cincinnati, 3 for 23 today, right? So he's had 5 for 62 in the last 2 weeks. Weeks 4 and weeks 5 last year, he had 3 for 33 against Indianapolis, Then he had 2 for 31 at Tampa. So he had 5 for 64, almost the same production, and then exploded for 10 catches for 70 yards and 2 touchdowns against Jacksonville the following week. And then kind of just ripped it up from there. 7, 4, 8, 4, 8, 9, 9, waddle, 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 waddle. My hope is that he has, you know, that same explosion after these 2 weeks that were not what we expect out of him.
You know what the common theme was there and all that stuff you just talked about? You know who came back in the Jacksonville game? You know who went out at halftime of the Cincinnati game?
Slops?
No, Tua.
I know.
Right. Oh, Slops.
I knew where you were going. You got all excited. I knew what you were going to say.
I thought I had this great point, and then you throw
the
Slops
in there.
It was a great point. I usually laugh at the Slops thing. Yeah. I just went over my head there. But, yeah, I mean, so.
It's actually a fair, especially he gets blanked in the second half of the Cincy game. But somebody else has got to be able to find him, no?
Sure, right. Absolutely. But, I mean, that's me and Juice talked about, too, during the game, right? Like, his entire game is coming out of that break and just leaving you in the dust. And on the All-22 in the Bengals game, it just wasn't there, Juice.
He doesn't have it right now, man.
And for the Jets game, not either.
You could tell he's got the straight head speed, you know, and I hate to compare him to myself because I didn't have his straightaway speed, but when I was laboring, you know, with my foot, I could go forward, but the coming out of breaks was the biggest problem. And I think that's the same situation he's running into, you know, especially when you talk about groins. Groins always use your lateral movements. Lateral movements are coming back to balls, running in cuts, out cuts. And when you're laboring that way, that's always a big problem, man. Same thing the X is going through. You got two of them?
Yeah.
How are you going to backpedal and turn
anything.
And stop and go, you know, when you've got a couple? I've never heard of anybody having two groin pulls or groin situations. But for Waddle, let's talk about – I'm excited for us to play these guys again because, you know, they were mocking Waddle.
I know.
Carter was mocking Waddle at the end of this game. And I get it. You're winning. You're doing big things. Have your little fun, Jets. You know what I mean? But Waddle is a guy that, when healthy, obviously he's a 1,000% an amazing player. My problem right now is we're in week 5 and he's laboring with this. You don't have time to get healthy. And look, he's had 10 days already. X has had 10 days already. There's going to be a bye week. Is that enough time to get healthy? There's no time in the NFL to get healthy when they need you every single week, especially on these soft tissue injuries. These soft tissue injuries are tougher than anything when it comes to, you know, getting ready. So I don't mind when I see on the report vet rest. I want all the guys to have vet rest. You know, I'm cool with that. Don't go out there running, but when you do start to run, that's when you start to feel it. So you have to test it out like X did before the game. Waddle, we saw last week, was not himself. And it's going to be tough for him to be himself moving forward. I hate to be that bearer of bad news, but that injury right there is a tough one. I played with a guy named Gary Clark who had 2 bad hamstrings. He got shot up every week in his hamstrings, and they taped him up every week. But they're not going to get, you know what I mean? It's hard to without time. Body needs time to heal. NFL, there's very little time to get healthy, and that's what I worry about more than anything.
Well, the bye week is a month and a half away, Juice, so it's, I mean, this is a stretch we talked about where they could possibly, you know, the schedule lightens up, but that's not the case when you come into a game with, you know, down this many guys and making this many mistakes. It doesn't really matter who you play when you put out that type of performance. And then, you know, the Jets thing, Seth showed us their Twitter mocking our weekly elevator, which really kind of gets the blood boiling, and I mean, doing the waddle dance as well, like, I don't know what Jalen did to anybody, but, you know, act like you've been there before. Well, this is a team that had lost 12 straight division games, so they haven't been there before, so I guess I understand that a little bit.
Right.
And then my last point that I had here after the discussion was, we've talked about this before, I talked about it on the podcast as well, is who the heck is going to be the number 3 option on this team? I think we kind of got into it last segment a little bit, but I mean, man, but when Tyreek and Jalen aren't going, and your next, I mean, Mike was the second leading receiver today, Mike Gesicki, 1 catch for 30 yards.
Yeah, at the end of the game.
Right. Number 2 receiver, and then you had Miles Gaskin caught 3 for 24.
Well,
and
they tried to find Cedric Wilson finally in this game, and he's
not,
also our emergency quarterback. You know, so Seth's got to be a guy that, you know, free agent contract, free agent money, they've got to start utilizing that. They've got to look at him being a guy that's a guy that steps up. I love Cray Craft. I love Sherfield. These guys have shown that they can play the game. They can play it well. We've had guys, though, early in seasons and especially in preseason that have been great players before. I call them preseason all-pros. And Cray Craft and Sherfield has been some of those guys. Can they play when it's live fire? Can they go out there and be productive in those situations? Do they trust them to go out there? I trust both of those guys to be able to go out there and make plays. When you got guys that are spending so much time on Tyreek, so much time on Waddle, You got to have a third guy.
And but are Cedric you saying Wilson's one of those guys are going to be the ones that rise
well,
up?
Well, Cedric's supposed to be that guy.
Right.
Cedric is supposed to be that guy. But I will trust that Craig Kraft in the situation can make a play. I do trust that Sherfield can make a play. They've done it. But they're not going to be your guys. They're going to go out there and get you 10 catches for 100 and some yards. But you got to trust that they can make a big play for you in certain situations. That's part of the game. You got to – sometimes the big guys are your decoys and design stuff, especially plays for guys like Nate Jaquette that I play with.
Wow.
Yeah, I brought one back for you.
Way back.
Yeah, you got to find some plays for these guys to throw defenses off. When they're in the game, it's not just a run play. It could be a pass play to them. That's their the primary. So you got to – and I know our coach is brilliant like that. So when you're down star power – find a way to get some of these role players an opportunity, and I think that's going to be the best situation for us.
And one name that you didn't mention there that I'm looking forward to, if we do have to pull somebody up, is Eric Ezukama, who I've been waiting to see him.
It might be his time.
It might be next week. We'll see. And he's been working diligently. You know what kind of kid he is, too. So looking forward to that. Hour two coming your way next. That means Mike McDaniel going to kick us off to start off hour number two. Antennas up, game on. Score your favorite games and shows for free. Visit thefreetvproject.org to learn all about the free programming waiting for you, including Dolphins games. That's freetvproject.org. Dolphins postgame also driven by Gunther Volkswagen. For car buying done your way, you've got to get to Gunther Volkswagen. Again, they're going to make me say the final score here. Jets 40, Dolphins 17. You're listening to the Miami Dolphins Radio Network, brought to you by the Palm Beaches.
Getting help for mental health shouldn't be as hard as it is. Mindful Therapy Group is here to make your mental health journey as painless as possible. Mindful partners with thousands of licensed clinicians to find the perfect fit for you, and also accepts insurance. Visit mindfultherapygroup.com